It's a good place to be here tonight, you reckon?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. They let you come in. It's a miracle. Amen. Well, take a Bible tonight and turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. It is good to be in church. Thank God for old-fashioned revival meetings. Amen. And man, I was encouraged tonight hearing this young man. Amen. He got stirred up. There is no sword like that one. Amen. There's none like that. But thank God, man. I remember when God stirred me up in meetings like this. Don't y'all remember that? Man, them preachers that preached made me want to, I just wanted to fight. Amen. And that's the way preaching ought to do.
Amen.
Nowadays, you hear some of these preachers preach, and it's like you've got a big sloppy kiss. Amen. I don't want a hickey on my neck when a guy gets done preaching. Amen. 1 Peter chapter number 5. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. Bible says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder." And I guess I've kind of entered that spot now. Amen. Being old. At least I hang around with old guys anyhow. Said, "And a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly." And thank God for the flock of God.
Amen.
Amen. It's a weird flock, but it's a good flock.
Amen.
Man, we got all types in here. But thank God for the flock. Amen. Yeah, amen. You just never know what's going to happen. This place for even squares can have a ball. Amen. It said, "Not for a filthy lucre, but of a ready mind." I always said, if you're in this for the money, you're not going to be a Bible-believing Baptist.
That's right.
Amen. We go to healing people. We'll be Benny Hinn's or something like that. Amen. And let me say this about Benny Hinn. He couldn't cure a ham. You got that? Amen. And you don't hear nothing about him during this pandemic, have you? Bunch of carpetbaggers. Amen. Then it says in verse number 3, it says, "Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock." I've seen some men try to do that, and I'm going to tell you, it never works. Amen. You can get away with it for a while, but you better be careful how you deal with God's people. Amen. Especially, I mean, the church. Young people, I mean, this is God's heritage. And mark it down, anybody that goes against a local church and tries to get in there and mess it up, they are of the devil. Amen. And buddy, we have seen a lot like that. So what do you do? Well, we want to take them out back and beat the snot out of them, but you can't do that. Amen. We ought to hire a goon squad. We ought to have a goon squad. Amen. We could be, amen, our evangelists, us evangelists, we're not bishops. Amen. So we could be strikers. Have somebody, amen, causing problems in church, call us in. Amen. I know some good ones. Amen. And the Bible said in verse number 4, it said, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." And you preachers that are here, there's one to try to aspire to. Just be an example to the flock. Amen. Just be glad God put you to where you can do something for him. Amen. Enjoy it. Got a platform. You got somewhere to preach. You got a pulpit. Throw a fit. Amen. You get on fire, people come see you burn. But they don't want to come sit underneath something dead. Amen, man. Be alive.
He's alive.
Amen. Then it says in verse number 5, now this is great instruction for the New Testament church right here. Then it says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder." You say, why is that? Because you younger folks ain't got no sense. You're dumber than a barrel of hair.
Amen.
Amen. You don't know how to do it on your own. That's why you need the older folks. We did this in church one time, and I almost threatened to do it here tonight. You know, we got a lot of young people in here, but I'm going to tell you who does the singing. It's the older folks. I got to church one time and I said, all right, everybody here 20 and younger, we'll sing on this next verse. They sang, and then I said, everybody 21 and older, you sing on the next one. We blew them out of the water. Amen. You say, why? Because most of you younger folks are dead as a doornail. You're dry as cracker juice. Amen. And if you aren't, you stick out like a sore thumb. Amen. I mean, how many young men you seen shout this week? Well, they won't even say amen. That's right. And the old guys, like Squiggy, he just woke up. But at least when he wakes up, he says amen. Amen. And the Bible says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. I remember when I got saved, I remember the men said amen in our church. And I figured that's what the men are supposed to do. So I remember doing that. They're going, amen, amen, you know, amen. And I'd look over, I said, man, that's cool. I like that. Then one day, like the Lord said, well, why can't you do that? I went, amen. Nobody even looked at me. Then we got in church one night, and we were singing that song, And Can It Be? And there was a guy sitting in front of me, and I wasn't real polished then or real spiritual then at all. And he turned around. People were shouting and running the aisles. He turned around, and he said, hey, McGahee, when are you going to do that? I'm like, hey, buddy, mind your own business. I'll thump you in your gourd head. Amen. And some of you, you'd be the same way. And then I'm sitting there, and I see Alan running the aisles and shouting and all these guys. And I said, well, man, I'm just saved as they are, I know. So I stood up and went, thank God I'm saved. Almost, you know, poof, oh, sorry. Amen. But I'll tell you what we did. We did what this verse says. We submitted ourselves unto the elders. Amen. We need to do that again. You young folks need to do that. This verse works. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. And man needs some great verses. And I got a message on verse number 6 about the mighty hand of God. And I'm going to tell you, you humble yourself under there, God can put his hand on you. It says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And here's what I want to preach tonight. Right stuck in the middle of this discourse, where he's talking to elders, younger people, the church, he says this, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Then he goes right on to say, in the same context, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You see that? The context in that. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions, here you go, are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Right in the middle of resisting the devil and all that, you know where the great verse is? Casting all your care upon him. Because I'm going to tell you, till you can do that, you're a mess. And the devil and everything that comes about, amen, you got to learn how to cast your care upon him. How? Why would you cast your care upon a God that you don't even know? Amen. Why would you cast your care upon somebody that you don't even really believe cares for you? And I'm going to tell you, you'll set yourself up for the devil if you don't. So that's what I want to preach about. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. And God, those many times, and Lord, those hard times, that God, we came to you. And Lord, you didn't cast us out. And Lord, you never even rebuked us. And God, you helped us. And Lord, you cared for us and still do. And God, help us. I pray here tonight Leave that one, Lord, that's drifting away from you. And God, move and work. Send old time, old fashioned revival.
Amen.
And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. I get phone calls all the time being an evangelist. I've been doing this 31 years, traveling around the churches. Buddy, I got a call today that just about knocked the slats out from under you. I got one of my great friends. We've been friends for, I guess, 27 years, 28 years, preached together. And he called me and told me his 47-year-old daughter, his oldest girl, and had cancer. And they went and got checked and all that, and it had already gotten her liver and gotten her bones. And boy, I'm telling you, hearing him cry on the phone and all that, amen. I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you can't cast your care upon him, that thing will eat you alive. Amen. There's a thing, if you study psychology, and I don't recommend that, amen, all that stuff is nuttier than a fruitcake. But if you study that kind of stuff, and we did, we had to take that kind of stuff in Bible school. Dr. Ruttman went over that stuff. Y'all remember that? Advanced theology. That's how advanced it was. And he went over what all the philosophers believed. I don't know if you remember that or not. He said, one guy's philosophy was this: maybe you are the only person alive, and everybody else is a figment of your imagination. Wow. It may be true. I might be the only one on earth right now. I've just made y'all up in my mind. But all that stuff and that psychiatry, but there's something in life they call a caregiver. And what it is you've had your life turned upside down by drunks, drug addicts, people that abused you, and you try to care for everybody else, and in the whole time you're doing it, you don't know how to cast your own care upon the Lord.
Yeah.
And I've seen it. You'll lose it. You can't handle it.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Yes, and you try to take care of everybody else, and you can't even take care of yourself. I preach to kids all the time. I preach youth camps. Kids are notorious for taking all their cares and holding them in themselves. They're notorious for it. You'll try to bear your own burdens. And if you do that, I'm telling you, you're a mess. Any of us. And you girls, you can't handle it. You got to get close to God. Amen. You can't bear these burdens. And buddy, they're coming. Amen. Life is a veil of tears. Amen. I know this is kind of a strange message, but this is revival. Amen. We got kids that deal with anger issues all the time. I got a message the Lord give me about Jonah. Bible says two times God told him, says, doest thou well to be angry, Jonah? Amen. Well, how about you? How are you doing with the anger? Some folks are always mad. That's the only thing you're good at is being mad. You're mad at me right now. You're mad at everybody. And kids, man, I preached at a camp one year, and I didn't know how it would go. And, man, after it was over with, the old mourner's bench had tears all up and down. You say, why? Kids are dealing with anger issues. And you don't know how to cast your care upon him because he cares for you? When we sing about the love of God and, you know, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? You sit here and you have no idea what we're talking about. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Calvary. And you have no idea because you have never felt that burden lift off of you. Amen. My prayer is that you get to where you can get to him, casting all your care upon him. It was already mentioned this week, one of the preachers, whoever it was, Brother Mike or somebody else, said we love him because he first loved us. Yep. Amen. Well, let me say this, number one, here tonight about casting your care upon him. Why don't you try him out and see?
Amen.
See if he's who he says he is.
Amen.
Amen. You've tried everything else. How about God? You get messed up now in the head and get emotionally wrecked, and you go out here and get stoned. Well, how about trying the Lord? Amen. I can't imagine. God saved me in 1982, and it took me and Dee a couple months to get clean of all that mess, but we got rid of all that stuff. I can't even imagine. I can't imagine being drunk again. And we used to do that every day. So I can't imagine if you're sitting here right now and you're saved and how you escape all this is go out and get drunk. You're a mess. Amen. Or go out and get stoned again. I got relatives and stuff, but if they have any pain medicine, if they will have surgery, they better have a safe in their house. Say, why? Because everybody, you got relatives that'll go after your opioids. Because they're dopioids. Amen. And I don't know. I don't know how many people I'm preaching to right now that's addicted to them. I know Brother Danny Hall, he went to get his sister one day and found her on the couch and she was dead and she was taking 15 to 30 of them a day. And it was so bad that her boyfriend in there come into the funeral home and tried to take her rings off her body. If I'd have seen him, amen. You say, what is that? That's people that was in church. Amen. You don't know how to cast your care upon him? Do you know what a dark road you got ahead of you? Better try him out. I got a friend of mine, Brother Paul Jant, and we went to his house one night, and he had a little girl there. His little girl was, I don't know how old she was, probably, I'm guessing maybe 2 to 3, and she had the chicken pox real bad. And man, I can't stand to hear little old kids cry. I mean, it's all right if they get their rear end busted. I kind of enjoy hearing them cry then. But if they cry because they're hurting or something like that, man, I can't stand that. And she had those chicken pox had really swelled up on her, and they was real bad infected. And the doctor prescribed him medicine, and the first one he tried, it burnt her real bad. It burnt. Like, y'all remember that old Mercuricone? Amen. That was a blessing, wasn't it? And I remember she was crying, and he was crying. He'd say, honey, I got to put this on you. It's the only way you're going to get any better. And she's crying. She goes, okay, Daddy. Man, I'm outside going, and he starts putting that on there, and she's crying. I mean, screaming. And he starts crying. And he's going, I'm sorry, baby. And finally, after a while, she would be crying, and she'd do this. She'd go, thank you, Daddy. And he'd put that on there and said, honey, I got to help you. And she'd cry, and she'd go, thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Daddy. Man. I never got over that. And I don't know, folks, I don't know all the trials that come in life and things that come along, but amen, most of it's for our own good. I know the Bible said the trying of our faith is precious, the trial of our faith. Amen. I don't understand why everything falls apart, but it does. Amen. If you can learn to cast your care upon him, you might be able to thank him for it. Thank you, Daddy. Amen. Woo! Amen. In context, this is a way, amen, to combat the devil. If not, I'm telling you, that inconsistency in your life, that burden will get you. You'll be out of church. You get to where you don't want to talk to nobody. Amen. You become a nut. Amen. So how do you know? I know some that have. Brother Danny Hall, me and him crisscrossed the country together. And Brother Danny, you talk about an old boy. Him and Miss Dee Dee, man, I love them. They learned how to cast their care upon him. I don't know of anybody that went through more than Brother Danny did. Brother Danny found his little mama. She had died in a fire. Well, she lived, but she died a few days later in the hospital. But he went and he said, the only place, Mama, he said, my little mama wasn't burned is where she'd clenched her eyes in that fire. And he said, and I went in there and said, right around her eyelids and all that, said, that's the only place on my little mama that wasn't burnt. He said, I watched her little fingers fall off and her ears. And he said, I watched my little mama die. Thinking, man alive. Then we went to Woodbine, Georgia over there, going over there close to Brunswick, back there in the backwoods. Brother Danny and Miss Dee Dee pastored over there in a little church. And they had a little girl that died. And they didn't have nothing. They had 8 or 9 people in their little church. And Brother Danny went and got a little styrofoam box. And he dug a little grave over there in the cemetery. God let him have a lot there. And they buried that little girl. He made his own little marker out there. And buddy, their life had turned upside down. And they got around there and prayed. And they left out of there. And they was thinking, you know, what are we going to do? We're just going to keep on living for God. And they pulled out of that little cemetery. Their eyes couldn't eat. Brother Danny couldn't hardly drive. And he pulls over and just stops. And he goes, look, Dee Dee. And there's a little church there on the side of the road. And I've seen the church. We've been by it. We've pulled in the parking lot and prayed. And that little church is called Rising Daughter Baptist Church. What a little coinky-dinky, huh? Amen. Then Brother Danny, all the drugs that he used before he got saved, they'd get them old needles out of the trash can and sharpen them on the cement. And if they didn't have any heroin or anything else, they'd get cheap wine and shoot it. And because of that, he got hepatitis C and had to have a liver transplant and all that. And man, I watched him go through that. I called him on Easter Sunday morning. I guess here in a couple of weeks will be Easter. He had that surgery, and the next morning was Easter, and I called him. And I said, hey, buddy. And he's like, hey, Brother Mark. I said, how you doing? And he said, the Lord met with me and you, Brother Mark. And I went, really? I said, man, the presence of God, something else, ain't it? And he snapped at me. He said, it wasn't the presence of God, it was him. I'm holding the phone back here like that. Amen. And I watched Brother Danny, he traveled around and all that. And man, all them calamities, sister died, brother died. All kind of mess that happened in his life, health problems. Then that new liver failed, and that hepatitis C got it. Kidneys went bad. We traveled the road together, and he'd have a Kentucky Fried Chicken box that he carried with him, and he'd take it and he'd put it underneath the pulpit in case when he was up here he had to throw up. That was my buddy, but that's a soldier. Amen. And over his body there, I saluted him. Yeah. Amen. Outstanding service, I reckon. Amen. Amen. I never heard him complain. I never heard him charge our Lord foolishly. Amen. Said, what did he do? He cast all their care upon him. We went to the house. Dee Dee, she got a hold of Dee, and Dee went to Tennessee. I was in a meeting in, Phoenix City, Alabama, and Dee went, and she called me, and she said, Mark, said, Danny, they're sending him home. Said, he's going to die, baby. He said, he's calling for you. And I told that preacher, I said, I got to go. And he let me leave early in that meeting. And I got there, and he'd had a good day. But that night, he wasn't good at all. And when I got there to the house, and my wife and Diane Hudson was in the bed with him. And they were holding his head. And he was throwing up blood in a bucket there, and he was on his way out. And I climbed up in the bed there, and I put my arms around him. I said, I'm here, buddy. And he went, oh. I said, I love you, buddy. He goes, oh. And we watched our buddy die that night. That next morning, they come, and the funeral home come, and they got his body and all on Sunday morning. We're sitting around there, and it got to be about 8:30, 9 o'clock. And somebody said, where's Dee Dee? Dee said, I'll go find her. Dee come out in a minute, she's wiping her eyes. I said, where's she at? She said, she's getting ready for church. I don't know if I could have went. I'll be honest with you. I don't know if I could have went. If that was Dee, I don't know. Dee, she goes, I know what Danny would have wanted. And said, we've put it all in the Lord's hands.
Amen.
Amen. Why don't you try him and see? Amen. We had a little girl come to camp in Oklahoma, and that little girl, she didn't have nobody. These kids, you ought to see them when they Nobody loves them, they're starving for attention. And they're starving for affection. Amen. If you're here and you're mean to a kid, I don't understand you. Amen. Man, we love them. Thank God for them. That little old girl, I paid attention to her that week and got to know her, and she came from a bad home. And she come one night and got me, and we went to the altar, and she got saved. And she told me, she goes, if I hadn't got saved, said I was going to commit suicide. And we formed a little pact together. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. There's kids sitting right here that you're so far away from God, you better learn how to cast your care upon him. Let me say this. Take him at his word. He said he would. Amen. He said he would. Look over in Psalm 142. Are y'all with me? We'll holler and shout before the week's over with. Amen. I want to tonight. I wish I could do somersaults, but I can't. I land on one of y'all and kill you. Amen. Bible said in Psalm 142, it says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make supplication. I've got family members that have never done that. I've got people that I've preached to that have never done that. Let me ask you, have you ever? Do you ever cried unto the Lord with your voice? Did he hear you? I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walk, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Buddy, that is the patent answer to any teenager that's going through trouble. Nobody cares. Some of you adults sitting here tonight, you know why you're mad? You know why you're out? You don't think anybody cares for you. Amen. These folks love you. What do you do with that? You got to push that out of your mind? I'll tell you more than that. God loves you. What do you do with that? Verse 5, I cried unto thee, O Lord, and I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I, look at this, that I may praise thy name. I preach to people all the time that are in a weird little prison. They can't praise him. Some of you won't. Amen. Do you think he's just worthy to be praised by Alan Ryman? Amen. If you got saved, you got saved same way he did. He's worthy. When are you going to get to the place where you can praise him? Take him at his word. Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. I'm telling you, you cast your care upon him, business will pick up. Take him at his word. Amen. Brother Cody Zorn, he probably told the story here, but man, that guy, you're talking about a preaching machine. And he told the story about that preacher that was riding on the plane with that guy. Y'all hear that story? He said, you know, this guy had his own plane, and I've rode with Brother Stalker. You know, he's a pretty good pilot, but I wouldn't ride with just anybody. I mean, if a guy says, hey, Brother McGee, you want to go ride my plane? No? No. Uh-uh. I'd rather ride with Jesse. Amen. And Brother Bilbo's car. No, I don't want to go with you. But he talked this preacher into going with him, and they're up there flying around. He's showing him things, and that preacher, he's kind of clenched there, you know, and man, just, you know, them little old planes are scary. Then all of a sudden, that guy flying the plane gets a his face changes, and he's got like a cold sweat on him. He looks over to the preacher, and he goes, "You better pray." Well, that's the last thing you want to hear if you're on a little plane. He's like, "What? What do you mean, pray?" He said, "I can't get the landing gear down." He's like, "You can't what? You can't get the landing gear down?" He's like, "Well, where's the manual for the plane?" That guy says, "Well, I don't know." "You don't know?" He said, "Well, it's back there somewhere." And it's all stacked up with a bunch of stuff. And, man, he unhooks his seatbelt, and he's crawling. His legs are like that. He's crawling around, and he finds the manual. He sets up there, and he's landing here, landing here, landing here. And he finds it, you know, this thing's, you know, no landing gear. He's looking at the landing gear. He said, "There's a lever underneath the dash." And he finally goes, "Found it." He says, "Take that lever, turn it counterclockwise." And he looks on there and he says, "Pump that lever 10 times. He's like, "A-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha." He said, "It probably pumped it 30 times. He said, "Then turn it back counterclockwise and lock it in." He said, "Then a little button should glow and it says, press that button." And sure enough, all that stuff. And he worked, and all of a sudden the landing gear goes, it's a manual deal. Amen. That's when you land, get out, and beat the snot out of the little pilot. Amen. You say, "What was the problem?" You better have your manual close. Amen. I got news on you. You young family sitting here, all hell's going to break loose. You got kids, just buckle up. Amen. And you better have your manual close by. You better be in church. Don't get out. Don't get bitter. Amen. I know people sit in different places, but I hope you ain't on the back row because you backslid. Sorry, friends. Amen. But I've watched them. I've watched them move boom, 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 boom. Some of y'all, that's where you sit anyhow. Amen, because I don't know, maybe you got a weak bladder or something. I have no idea. But are you just moving back because you backslid? I'll tell you why you're moving back. You don't know how to cast your care upon him. And you know what you'll have to do? You'll have to get mad. I said it this week. You'll have to get mad at everybody in here. And you won't have no problem doing it. And you know what the main problem was? You couldn't come to God and say, "God, help me." Amen. I'll tell you this last of all, this thing about casting your care upon him, you can triumph in the will of God. So what do you mean? The will of God will sustain you. The work of God, you get in serving God, there's things this church is doing you can get involved in. Amen. I forget who it was. Somebody said this Sunday that you could ride on the bus if you want to. How about that one? Amen. Was that you, Brother Dudley? Amen, Brother Joe. Get on the bus and ride. You say, "Well, I ain't a bus worker or anything like that." Get you a handful of candy or something. Get you some jokes. Amen. Pass out a picture of yourself. Make a track up and say, "Hey, God loves this. Can you believe that?" But these little old kids, man alive, you can do something for God. And I'm going to tell you what will happen. Business will pick up. That's why folks get dormant in the church. You ain't doing nothing. Amen. And you can pick everything apart. I get preaching up here. You know, somebody said today, the old guy said, "Preachers don't talk in their sleep. They talk in other people's sleep." I've been timed more than any Olympic runner has ever been timed. I've had my grammar tested. Do you know you made 9 grammar errors? Wow, really? I was preaching one time, and I made the mistake by saying up in Antarctica. Brother Mark, Antarctica is south. I'm like, thanks, Helpy Helperton. That's all she got out of the whole sermon. No, it's south. Thanks. And I've watched people squander the chance to be part of the will of God. And I've watched them grow bitter and cold and just pick apart everything that goes on. Don't ever come to an altar. You don't ever get to the place where you can cast your care upon him. Amen. I heard about a little boy went to the store with his daddy, and I don't know how you fellas are grocery shopping. I am not a very good grocery shopper. I'll pay you a dollar not to use a coupon. I don't want to use it. I don't care. It saves me $10. I'll wad up a $10 bill and throw it out the window before I use coupons going to the store. I ain't going to do it. You say, that's stupid. It is. But I ain't doing it. Amen. My gaydar goes off. Oh, wait a minute. I got a coupon for that. And I'm looking to see if any man laughs. But this guy's going to the store. Instead of getting a card, he just gets one of the little baskets. And he tells his son, he goes, son, come here. We're on a mission in here. Do you understand? We are out of place here. We don't belong here. So we're going to get a few things and we're out of here. You understand? We're not tarrying. Like, okay, daddy. We're going through there and he puts something in the basket, puts something else. He's carrying that thing. And somebody looks at him and says, hey, little fella, say, can you carry that? And I'm like, arr. He's going through there and daddy puts something else in. It's getting pretty heavy. And they get close to the checkout lane and some little lady says, son, can you carry that? And he looks up and he goes, my daddy knows how much I can carry. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. This little basket you got in life will get very full. And you'll look sometimes and you'll think, how in the world can I go on another step? My father knows how much you can carry. Amen. I heard a guy preach and told this story, and I read about it since. And it was about a place, you know, it was a mine, it was a gold mine. It's called the Darby Mine. I don't know how many of y'all ever heard this story, but this guy named Darby had this gold mine, had all this machinery, and he dug and dug and dug, and they'd hit a little bit of gold here and there, and he finally quit, and he sold the mine and sold all the equipment. He sold all the equipment for guys that take steel, you know, and recycle it. And them recyclers got there, and the big boss, and here's all this machinery, and one of the guys looked at his boss, and he goes, hey, man, said, we're all mechanics. He goes, why don't you give us a couple days to get this stuff running? He said, I think we can get these digging machines running and stuff. He said, would you let us mine a little bit before we go ahead and recycle all this stuff? And the guy said, all right, you got a couple days. So them guys worked on that stuff, and they got it running. And they said they got in that mine shaft and said they dug 3 feet, and they hit the mother lode. Wow. Literally millions of dollars of gold. And, buddy, I have seen folks in life miss the mother load. You know where they come? Oh, it's about 3 feet short. It's about that 3 feet right there to an old-fashioned altar. And they will not cast their care upon God, for he careth for you. And you know what they do? They bear it themselves. I heard a guy ask one fellow one time, he says, well, he said, all this stuff's happening. He said, are you bearing it or is the Lord? He said, I'm bearing it. The guy said, well, how's that going for you? He looked at him. He said, not very well. Amen. I'm not a singer, but this little song, and you know the song I'm talking about. With heads bowed and eyes closed, invitation open. I'll sing a little bit of this song because it's a great song. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? As the burdens press and the cares distress, as the way grows weary and long, does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When my deep grief, I find no relief, though my tears flow all the night long. Listen to this one now. Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? And my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it aught to him? Does he care? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. How about coming tonight? Slip out of your seat and cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Would you? Would you? There ain't no place like the local church. There ain't no place like an old-fashioned altar. Brother Allen to pray with you. Miss Linda to pray with you. Some of your best friends in life are sitting here. Why don't you get some help tonight, would you? Would you? Father, bless in this invitation. God, have your way, I pray. Help us, Lord. God, these young folks, help them, Lord. Do for them what you did for us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, let's all stand.